Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. Wow. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it really? Sometimes we make it about things that it really shouldn't be. But at the bottom line, it's all about Jesus and that relationship that we have with Him and can have with Him. Amen. I bring you greetings this morning. It is so amazing to be in church, to preach to people. Now, you know, I got a pretty good imagination, so when we're doing the camera thing, you know, I'm envisioning people out there, you know, sitting in your pajamas, you know, eating a donut and drinking some coffee, you know, and, you know, it's cool. Just to be honest with you, I've done a little bit of that myself during this whole corona thing. You know, just sit at home watching it, you know, it's pretty comfortable. And then when you get done, you know, you can get to your nap a little quicker that way. But praise God, it's great to be in the house of God. It's great to be among the people of God. And it's great to have this opportunity once again to come and share the Word of God with you, the people of God, the people of Springfield First Church of the Nazarene. Amen? How's everybody doing through this corona thing? I mean, you've been doing all right? You hanging in there? It's been different, hasn't it? 2020, it's the year that keeps on giving. Amen? Who knows what's next? You know, I was reading an article the other day about the effect the corona crisis is having on pastors, ministers, churches, God's people. And the author predicted in that article, he said that he thinks there are going to be many pastors and churches that don't make it through this crisis. That the pressures of not being able to meet together, especially for the ministers and the pastors, you know, they're used to being people and being out among the folks. They're used to writing sermons and doing their things, and certainly we've had to make some adjustments in doing ministry in these days. But it's a challenge for some. I mean, if you think about this, if you're doing all of your ministries now online, not only do you have to have good theology, but you got to have good TV too, right? And that's a challenge. They didn't train us for that. At Olivet or in Bible college, we didn't get trained to do TV. And so we're having to figure some of these things out. And financial worries kind of weigh heavy. You know, certainly, you know, people had troubles with some were laid off and those things, and with the church not being able to meet in person, you know, there's some financial struggles that the churches are facing. The physical health even of some ministers. You know, if you're not out and as active as you normally are, and maybe you've been hitting the snacks a little bit harder at home, come on now. And sometimes the physical health is failing just a little bit. And I believe and I think many of God's people and many ministers themselves are struggling even spiritually because maybe we've replaced the highs of ministry and ministering for the cheap thrills that come from the flesh. Amen? Now, we can lament the corona crisis and the damage that it is inflicting on many ministries and ministers, and we can say, wow, that's just too bad. Or we can seize the opportunity that this unprecedented event in world history offers to us as Christians and as a church to learn some things about ourselves. Amen? This crisis could just be a wake-up call from the risen Christ to His church. Now, that's with all due respect to those who have fallen victim to the coronavirus and those that have lost their lives, not making light of that at all. But could it be that God is intending to use this thing for His good and glory? Amen? Is it possible? I believe this. I don't think the coronavirus has really caused the circumstances that are threatening the pastors and the churches. Rather, I believe the crisis has simply revealed that which was already true. That many pastors and Christians and churches were dead already and they just didn't know it. Amen. Still going through the motions, still going up, showing up every Sunday, still doing the same things, the same routines, but without any spiritual life or spiritual power. Amen? You see, when the routines of doing church and doing ministry are stripped away, often we are confronted by the spiritual nothingness of our ministry. The glory of God left a long time ago, and we didn't know it. We have immersed ourselves in kingdom busyness, or secular politics, or social causes, and believed ourselves to be good soldiers of Christ, but we've neglected our primary responsibility as Christians and ministers of the gospel, our role as priests before God and priests to God. Did you know there's this concept in the New Testament of the priesthood of all believers, that every Christian is themselves has a participation in the priestly ministry of Christ, that we are to represent the people before God in prayer, and that we are to represent God to the people in the way we live our lives and conduct ourselves. Amen? And so our God-ordained challenge is to bring people into the presence of God and to bring the presence of God down to the people. It is said of Phineas F. Brzee, who was the founder of the Church of the Nazarene, that he used to say to his worship leaders and his ministers, he says, the goal of every worship service is this. It's to get the glory down. To get the glory down. Because unless the presence of the living God falls and comes down among us, we're not going to get much accomplished other than saying, hey, how you doing? Was it a good week? Man, sure hope things go well for you. See you next week. Nothing wrong with fellowship. Nothing wrong with friendship. Nothing wrong with relationship. But I'm here to tell you, none of that can replace the glory of God in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, my friends, what is needed most in this critical moment in the life of the church, the life of this church, your life and my life, what is needed most right now is a manifestation of the glory of God. His presence. His unmistakable presence. I'm talking about when he shows up and messes everybody up. You ever been there? Aren't those good days? Hallelujah. And so we're going to look today. Now, stay with me because you guys are going to think I'm crazy. And I am. But we are going to look to the book of Leviticus today to find out how we can draw the glory of God down into our midst. Amen? You say, Leviticus? Does anybody read that book? Some of us crazy preachers who had a lot of time on our hands, we've been reading Leviticus. And there's some really good stuff in there. So in chapter 9 of Leviticus, we have the story of what Moses and Aaron did in their day to attract the glory of God to appear to all the people. So here's the scene. The Israelites were camped at Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Moses had been up on the mountain. He had received the Ten Commandments, as well as God's instructions for the construction of the tabernacle and the ministry of the priest. In chapter 8 of Leviticus, Aaron and his sons were ordained to be the priests of God. And in chapter 9, we find the account of Aaron's first day of ministry in the tabernacle. Aaron offered up 4 sacrifices that day. And once he finished, the scriptures say this in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and fat portions on the altar. And when the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Amen? See, this is the account of the birth of the Old Testament church. This is the account of the Old Testament Pentecost. Because before, this was the beginning of the church, the Old Testament church. And the glory of God appeared to all of the people. And the Lord showed his pleasure by sending his fire out from his presence to consume his portions of the sacrifices that were laid upon the altar. And the people shouted for joy, and they fell face down in reverence before God. And oh, that today we would build an altar, and that we would offer up sacrifices pleasing to God. Amen? And oh, that God would answer by manifesting his glory in our church. And oh, that the fire of God would come down and consume our sacrifices and purify our hearts. Amen? Oh, my friends, this is what we need more. We need this more than we need dinner this afternoon. And I know a lot of you got dinner on your mind. Amen? We need the glory of God. We need His presence to come down among us and within us. And I want us to look at this passage today because Moses had Aaron offer up four sacrifices that day. And when he offered up those four sacrifices, the glory came. Leviticus 9, verse 6, Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has commanded you to do, offer these sacrifices, so that the glory of God may appear to you." Now, there were four offerings, and the first one was what was called a sin offering. In Leviticus 9, verse 7, Moses said to Aaron, "Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and the people." Now, atonement is that biblical word that talks about the way that sin is taken out of the equation in our relationship to God. Amen? God is holy and we're not. If we're going to have a relationship with Him, then our unholiness has got to be dealt with. And it is dealt with through sacrifice. We know in the New Testament it's the sacrifice of Jesus, right? In the Old Testament, it was the sacrifices of the sin offering and the burnt offering. And the Hebrew word for atonement has two primary meanings. The first is to cleanse, and the second is to pay a ransom. And the sin offering was intended to help cleanse the sinner of their sins so that they could be in the presence of God. Amen? Now, I want you to think about this. You know, in Old Testament times, and I believe even in our time, you don't just walk into the presence of God any old way you want to. Amen? God is holy. His house is holy. His altar is holy. His presence is holy. Everything around Him is holy. The creatures that surround the throne of heaven constantly call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." When Isaiah saw that sight, he said, "Man, I'm toast. I'm undone. I can't be here." And you can't either. And I can't either. Unless our sin is taken away. Unless it is atoned for. Amen? And so that sin offering was intended to make that person ceremonially clean so that they could even be in the presence of God. This was an offering of blood. It was a recognition of the fact of sin and the fact that sin disqualifies one from entering into the presence of God. Well, the second offering was the burnt offering. And remember, the second meaning of that word for atonement in Hebrew means to pay a ransom. The burnt offering was intended to appease the wrath of God against the sinner. The worshiper, get this is interesting imagery. The worshiper would come, typically it's going to be the man, it's going to be the leader of his household. He brings his animal to the temple to be sacrificed, and then he would come and lay his hand on the head of that animal and actually lean upon it. And the imagery was is that he was putting all of his sinfulness upon that sacrifice, and that as that animal was then sacrificed, it would take away his sin. It would pay the ransom for his sin. And so the sin offering and the burnt offering together made atonement for their sin. The sin offering was a confession of the holiness of God and the unholiness of the sinner, and the burnt offering was the ransom for sin, the trading of death for death and life for life. Well, the third offering was the grain offering, and the grain offering seems almost inconsequential in this story because the grain offering was offered every day in the temple worship. And it simply was bringing, like, grain to make bread out of. It was an acknowledgement of God's provision for our lives. Our daily bread, as Jesus puts it in the Lord's Prayer. Amen? And the grain offerings also provided the daily bread for the priest, because the priest, that was how they got their living, that's how they were sustained. It was by the offerings of the people being brought in. And so the burnt offering was the ransom for sin. The sin offering was the ransom to cleanse them from uncleanness. And the grain offering was just part of the day-to-day obedience that God expected and requested of His people. But then there's a fourth offering, and this one is pretty cool. It was called the fellowship offering. It's also called the thank offering, a peace offering, or a free will offering. It has different names throughout the Old Testament. And the fellowship offering was a voluntary offering. It was one that the worshiper brought out of his heart. He was responding to the Lord, and he wanted to do this. This wasn't something that he was required to do, this is something that he wanted to do. Now, it's interesting with the fellowship offering that rather than offer the entire animal as a sacrifice, they only took, get this, they took the kidneys and the fat around the liver. And they would put it on the altar. Now, in the Old Testament, I don't know, man. The kidneys and the fat part were supposed to be the good stuff. And it's interesting that in Old Testament times, in ancient times, they believed the kidneys to be the center of one's being. You know, for us, we would say, I love you with all my heart, my wife. Yeah? But in Old Testament times, I would say, baby, I love you with all of my kidneys. And if I really love you, I love you with all of my kidneys and the fat around my liver. Guys, go ahead and try that one tonight and see how far you get it. It may not be good. But it was just the symbolism of, I am giving to the Lord this free will offering of the very best of me and the very best that I have. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Amen? Now, there were three different types of fellowship offerings. One was a confession offering. And this was given to thank God for delivering the worshiper from trouble or sickness. Somebody would be in a tight spot or they would get sick and they'd cry out to God for deliverance and say, Lord, please deliver me from this trouble. And God would. And then out of gratitude, they would then bring this free will offering to the Lord to say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me, for delivering me. Amen. Another was called a vow offering. People would make vows to God in which they committed to bring a sacrifice in exchange for God's help in a specific situation. And it might be a situation you say, Lord, if you will help me in this situation, I promise that I will give this offering to you. Amen. It was a vow offering. And then the others were free will offerings, and that was usually given in response to God's goodness or some unexpected blessing. So these were the four offerings that Aaron and his sons offered up that day. And once they completed those offerings and then they came out from the presence of God, the glory of God appeared to all the people. And the fire of God came out and consumed. The Lord sent his fire to burn up them kidneys and that fat portion. Thank you for giving me the best. Amen. And so what we see then is they obeyed the Lord. They brought those sacrifices. The glory came down. It changed them. It was an amazing day in the life of that community. And so the question I have for us this morning is this, is how can we draw the glory of God? What can we do in our time to attract the presence and the glory of God? And I believe there's two things that we can do, that we should do, that we need to do as Christians, as leaders in the church, as leaders in our homes, as leaders in the community. And the first is this, we need to build our own altar. Now, we don't have to build an altar out of wood or stone, but we need to construct a place in our mind and in our life where it is a meeting place between us and the presence of God, a place where we are coming to do business with Him. Amen. This is between us and the Lord alone. It doesn't matter about anybody else. We need to build an altar. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in this house? Now, you guys have been corona way too long here. I got to give me a little something here. Okay. We need to build an altar, and then quite frankly, we just need to sacrifice ourselves on it. And when I say ourselves, I'm talking about ourself. Needs to be offered on that sacrifice. It's time for this generation to take decisive action to move toward God. You see, we're all in this business. Lord, send revival. Lord, send revival. And the Lord isn't going to just answer that prayer and send revival unless we do the work to prepare the way for Him, to His glory to come down among us. Amen. It's time for us to offer up sacrifices to the Lord so that we may draw His glory. It is time to sacrifice our self-seeking, self-aggrandizing, self-assured, self-centered, self-reasoning, self-promoting, self-hating, self-pitying, self-indulging ways on our altar before God. Amen? Hallelujah! Now, you think I'm getting a little radical and crazy, and I am, but I just read this in the Bible. It's James chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10, and James is writing to Christians. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Here's where it gets neat. come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify. He's talking to Christians now. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will what? He will lift you up. Amen? It's time to build an altar, friends. It's time to get serious about... You can't wait for anybody else. You can't wait for the church. You can't wait for your brother or sister. You can't wait for your new pastor. You have to do this yourself. You're a priest of God. The Spirit of the living God lives in you. You have every opportunity to build an altar and offer these sacrifices yourself. And revival can start with you. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Wow, I haven't even got to preaching yet, but I'm starting to warm up a little bit. All right, here's four offerings. I'm gonna suggest four offerings that you and I can make to draw the glory of God. And the first one is this, a sacrifice of confession. Confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, that is the Lord, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen? From all unrighteousness. Aaron offered up a sin offering to purify the people, so that they could be in God's presence. Likewise, we need to offer up a sacrifice of confession. We need to call upon the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Amen? And reveal our wicked ways so we may confess our sins. Here's one thing, one little nugget I want to give you today. Here's the truth about sin. It blinds you to its presence. Amen? Sin blinds you to its presence in your life. Hallelujah. And so this is why the prayer of David in Psalm 139, Psalm 139, go home and read that one. It's one of the most beautiful psalms ever written. In verses 23 and 24, David cries out to the Lord. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Holy Spirit, search me. Show me my heart. Show me my blind spots. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm missing it. Show me where I'm being selfish. Show me where I'm being sinful. Expose me. Help me to see it, Lord. I can't do anything about it until I see it." And we can't see it until we call upon the Lord and He exposes it. Amen? Some of the reasons that a lot of people don't want to get too close to God. Amen. What did Jesus say? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't come to light because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. That's another sermon. I'm not going to preach that one today. Friends, we need to put our souls in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Amen. We need to reaffirm our dependence upon the blood of Christ to take away our sin. Sometimes I think we've just kind of been sailing along. It's like, hey, I was saved a long time ago, and praise God for that. But has the blood been freshly sprinkled upon you? Have you had that experience with the risen Christ recently in which His blood has been sprinkled on you anew, and you have this true appreciation for who He is and all that He has done for you? And my friends, we need to confess our sin. We need to confess them. And not only ours, but we need to confess the sins of our people and our generation. Yeah? I love Daniel. Boy, Daniel, he's like the quintessential example of a godly man that you find in the Old Testament. And in one episode in Daniel chapter 9, he was praying, and he says, "And while I was still speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for His holy hill, then God sent His angel to come and bring me a message." Amen. Think about that. My friends, we need to confess the sins of our generation. Not, and I'm not talking about criticizing our generation for their sins. We need to confess the sins of our generation. We need to take ownership of it. If we're going to be a priest of God, we have to take upon ourselves the guilt of the people around us in our generation. Amen? And confess it. It needs to be exposed for what it is. Hallelujah. And then I would suggest a second sacrifice, a sacrifice of repentance. And you say, "Now, preacher, wait a minute. you just said that we should confess. Isn't confession of sin and repentance from sin the same thing? No, they are not. No, they're not. Confession is an acknowledgement of that which is true. It is saying, yes, I have sinned. Yes, I am not where I need to be. But repentance is a moral choice. Once you have been made aware of where you are, now you are making a choice before God to turn from your sin and to call upon the name of the Lord to be delivered from it. Amen? Hallelujah! Woo! Wow, we could, you know, if the glory of God actually does fall down among us, you know, the first thing that's going to happen, there's going to be a lot of godly sorrow going on. The conviction of God. And oh, we need it. Amen? Oh, we need it. And we need to pray prayers of repentance for our church, for our generation. Remember Revelation 2? The risen Christ speaking to the churches and the letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, listen, church, you've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. Repent and do the things you did at first. Amen. Hallelujah. And we saw earlier that the Old Testament worshipers, when they came to bring their burnt offering, they would put their hand on the head and lean upon it. My friends, you and I need to lean our sinfulness and the sinfulness of our generation. We need to lean it on the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Amen? And we do that in prayer. We do that in prayer. We're utterly dependent upon Him. Now, I want you to think about this. The sin offering and the burnt offering in the Old Testament do have their counterparts in the New Testament. Because the blood and the flesh of the sin offering and the burnt offering in the Old Testament correspond to the wine and the bread of the communion sacrament that we celebrate in the church, right? So I want us to think about that. I don't have time to get deep into that today. But as we are building our altars, we're confessing, we're repenting, not only for ourselves, but for our generation, it would then be in order then to celebrate the Lord's communion and to freshly recognize that our salvation is dependent upon His broken body and His shed blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so we've got that. Third sacrifice I would suggest is this. Remember, this one seemed insignificant when we talked about it a few minutes ago in the Old Testament, the grain offering, that it was like the day-to-day offering. It was just what we're supposed to do as a lifestyle thing that God expected of the people. But I believe we need to offer a sacrifice of obedience. A sacrifice of obedience. Now, the Israelites were commanded by the Lord to give a tithe of their grain harvest to the church. And the grain literally served as food for the priesthood. And also, it was there for resources for the poor when they would come and they needed something. And so, the significance of that grain offering in Leviticus 9 is that it represented the day-to-day lifestyle of obedience to the Lord's commands on the part of the worshiper. And obedience to God's commands was the individual's part of their covenant relationship with God. God said, I will be your God. I will bless you. Now, I just want you to obey my covenant. Obey my laws and my regulations. Right? Wasn't that their part? And guess what? God still expects us to obey Him today. You're like, no, wait a minute, preacher. No, time out. Time out. No. Salvation is by grace. It's not based on what I do. It's based on what Jesus did. And it doesn't matter what I do, I'm covered, it's all good. Quit talking about this obedience stuff and keeping rules and regulations on stuff. I don't have time for all that. I just want to live my life and do my thing, and God's going to take care of all my sin stuff, the spiritual stuff, and the going to heaven stuff. I don't need to worry about all this stuff. But my friends, listen to me. In no way possible can you read the Old Testament or the New Testament and not see that the Lord actually expects us to obey what He says. Hallelujah. Don't believe me? Let me take you to the Apostle Peter here for a minute. In 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2, he introduces himself. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for what? For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Amen? Peter says, listen, I've been called to be an apostle to share this good news so that you can be born again, be sanctified by the Spirit, be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, so that you can get to the place in your life where you can be obedient to the Lord. Amen. How about the Apostle Paul, Romans 1, verse 5? He says, through him, the Lord, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul says there is an obedience that comes out of our faith in Christ, that as we are walking in this relationship, it is intended that we are going to begin to be more and more like Jesus, right? Now, how about we just talk about Jesus himself? John 14, 23, he says, listen, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Jesus is saying that our obedience to his commands and what he has asked us to do is the proof of our love. Amen. So there is this expectation that we're going to do what the Lord has asked us. My friends, listen. 1 hour of true confession and true repentance that leads to true life change and to an obedient lifestyle in Christ, that is the thing that will draw the glory of God and bring revival. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark this well. There never has been, nor will there ever be a revival without obedience. There will not be a revival that isn't preceded by our repentance and our commitment to obey, and there will never be a revival that does not produce obedience in the lives of the people. That's what revival is. Amen. Or are we just seeking, do we just want God to just thrill us and fill us? Or are we interested in actually walking in the ways that he'd have us to walk? Amen. Oh, my friend. Listen, if there's open sin in our lives, we need to repent. I'm talking, are we breaking the biggies? You know, there are some things written in stone. Amen. Are we breaking the biggies? We need to repent. We need to change. We need to come clean before God. Amen. Have we neglected the spiritual disciplines, our priestly duties? Are we not reading the Bible? Are we not praying? Are we not worshiping privately? Are we not investing in our relationship? My friends, we need to sacrifice the lesser things we've been wasting our time on so we can invest them in the things of God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on, I'm not done meddling yet. I've still got a little bit more to go. If we've been unfaithful in our giving of our tithes to the Lord, we need to repent. You say, preacher, tithing is Old Testament. That's not. Listen, friends, you know, tithing, we try to make it all magical, but it's practical. God established the tithing system in the Old Testament for the support of the church and the ministry. He said it took 10% of the people's income in order to support the church and the ministry to be what God would have it to be. And my friends, there is no way in the world you can tell me that it's going to take any less than that in this generation to support the work of God and the church. Now, amen? Hallelujah. And think about this, too. If you're stingy with God, he's going to be stingy with you. That's Malachi. If you're stingy with God, he's going to be stingy with you. If you're shrewd with God, he's going to be shrewd with you. Well, hallelujah. You guys are like, man, why did I even come to this place this morning? This guy's crazy. But if you are generous with God, if you are obedient to the Lord, he's promised to open up the windows of heaven and bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Amen? I'm just telling you what the Word says. If we've slacked off in our church attendance, and I will give you a little pass here recently. Okay, I get that. If we've slacked off in our participation in ministry, in our prayers, hey, we need to return to our posts. Amen? We may need to figure out what those posts look like now. We may have to do different. Like, I love that you guys are doing the children's lessons and stuff online now. This is the kind of stuff we need to do, but we need to be doing it. We need to be at our post. Listen, don't think God is going to revive a people who are derelict in their responsibilities to the Lord and the church. It's not going to happen. Stop wondering why there is no revival. Amen? Stop wondering. Start offering these sacrifices. Hallelujah. All right, one last one and then I quit, I promise. You're like, please, you're killing me. We talked about the free will offering, the thank offering, the fellowship offering, that voluntary offering a little bit ago in the Old Testament. I believe we need to offer up a sacrifice of passion. A sacrifice of passion. I believe the Lord Jesus expects us. Listen, He expects us to repent of our sins, to call upon His name, and to do our best to obey His commands, to be those living sacrifices that Paul talks about in chapter 12 of Romans. He says that's our reasonable service to God. But I believe if we're going to draw the glory of God into our midst, we need to give a free will offering. We need to give something more of ourselves than just our duty to God. We need to give Him our heart. We need to give Him our best. We need a sacrifice born out of our love, our adoration, and our passion for the Lord Jesus. Is there any passion in your heart this morning for Christ? Has He done anything for you in your life? Does He mean something amazing to you? Is there any fire in your inside? Is there any fire in your kidneys for Jesus this morning? Amen? Amen. Is there any fire there? And what kind of sacrifice is God brewing in your spirit? Hey, for some, a sacrifice of passion might be, hey, God maybe has blessed you. Maybe a financial offering to the Lord's work would be a sacrifice of passion. For others, a sacrifice of passion might be the beginning of a new ministry in the church or in the community. For some, a sacrifice of passion would be to use their artistic skills to write a book, to create a new song, to write a new play, to do something out of your heart because you love God and you want to do something for Him out of your just adoration for Him. And for a few, a sacrifice of passion would be to answer the call of God upon your life to full-time ministry. God is still calling people into ministry. Amen? And maybe God's planted that in your soul, that seed in your heart. And a sacrifice of passion would be to acknowledge that and to commit to that and to commit your way to pursuing that which God has called you to do. Amen? My friends, when we offer those thank offerings, amazing things happen. Psalm 50, verse 23. The Lord says, this is the Lord speaking, He says, He or she who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. And He prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. As we offer those sacrifices of our heart, we are preparing the way for the glory of God to be manifest to us. Now, we saw when Aaron finished offering up those sacrifices, the glory of God fell. And my challenge to us this morning is this. Let us all come to the cross, brand new, afresh. Let's confess our sins. Let's turn from our wicked ways. Let's commit to obey the Lord with everything we have and everything we are, and let us lavish our love upon Him. For then and only then will we see the glory of God in our midst and feel the fire of God. Here's the good news. God wants to manifest His glory to us. If we'll make that move, if we'll draw near to Him, the what? We'll draw near to Him. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, thank You so much for the Word. Thank You so much for this obscure story in the book of Leviticus that teaches us about relationship between You and Your people, that when we offer up the sacrifices that are pleasing to You, that You answer by manifesting Your glory in our lives and in our homes and in our churches. And so, Lord, I pray You'd help each of us. Help us, Lord, to offer up these sacrifices, to call upon Your name, Lord, to search us and to show us our heart, to show us our life, if there is any wicked way in us. And then give us, Lord, the grace to make that decision in our heart, in our life, that we're going to turn from any wicked way, that we might be forgiven and delivered. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to offer a sacrifice of obedience. Lord, to do the things that You have taught us to do. Sometimes, we kind of slack off in our duties, honestly. But put us in remembrance of things that You have taught us, and help us to walk in those ways once again, I pray. And then, Lord Jesus, capture our hearts. Lord Jesus, light a fire in our souls, and help us, Lord, to offer up to You the very best of who we are. The very best. I prepare the way to behold your glory. Lord, we think of Moses. After all of the amazing things that you showed him, that you did through him and for him, delivering them from Egypt and all the things that happened in the desert, Lord, Moses got to that place where he said to you, "Oh God, show me your glory. I want to know you more. I want to see your glory." And Lord, you hid him in the cleft of the rock and you passed by his way proclaiming your name. And I pray, oh God, for this congregation, for each one of us, oh God, that you give us that kind of determination that we are going to call upon you, Lord, and ask you to show us your glory. That you might proclaim your name over our lives and change us forever. Lord, we love you. Praise you. As we go from this place, may we go, Lord, seeking and hungry and thirsting for the glory of God. Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Go in peace, my friend. God bless you. Let's find the glory. Amen.